Students who survived last week's school shooting in Florida are traveling to Tallahassee today, where they'll hold a rally tomorrow calling for more gun control. But will Washington be listening? Joining us now, NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Jeremy.
And President Trump has now signaled support for a bipartisan bill in the Senate prompted by the Texas church shooting in November. It would tighten background checks by requiring federal agencies and states to report criminal history to an FBI database. Let's start there. Is that likely to pass?
Possibly. It has the backing of the NRA, as well as at least the tentative backing of President Trump. This is a bill that was sponsored by Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas, along with Democrat Chris Murphy of Connecticut. Murphy has been an outspoken advocate for gun control at least since the Sandy Hook massacre 5 years ago. Cornyn signed on to this narrow bill after that deadly church shooting in Sutherland Springs, Texas, last November. As you might remember, the gunman in that case should have been barred from buying a gun due to his military conviction for domestic violence,
right.
But that information wasn't properly communicated. So this law simply aims to see that information that should be included in the no-buy database actually makes it into that database.
Now, in Florida, where the students will be rallying in the state capitol, Republicans are proposing some tighter restrictions at the state level, raising the age of legal gun ownership to 21, creating a waiting period for purchasing a gun, banning bump stocks, those were used in the Las Vegas attack, and creating gun violence restraining orders. So there may be action there at the state level. But what about in Washington? Anything more substantial than what you were just talking about?
Not much. I mean, I think what we're seeing right now is a lot more momentum at the state level, mostly in blue states like California and Connecticut, but also some purple states like Florida as well. We've heard from Florida's Republican governor, Rick Scott, who says he wants to work with lawmakers there to keep guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. Scott is widely expected to run for Senate later this year against Democrat Bill Nelson. So maybe this is a way for him to sort of shore up his standing with independent voters in the state.
Meanwhile, Scott, some news from the Mueller investigation into Russian interference in the election today. Another charge today for against an attorney named Alex van der Zwaan, charged with lying to investigators about his interactions with Rick Gates, the former Trump deputy campaign manager. This after all those indictments last week. What more can you tell us about this one?
We expect a guilty plea from Mr. van der Zwaan. He has acknowledged lying to the FBI, and there are also reports that he failed to turn over emails to the special counsel's investigators. Van der Zwaan is a lawyer who worked on Ukrainian issues with Paul Manafort, who later became Trump's campaign chairman, and Manafort's deputy, Rick Gates. This guilty plea and van der Zwaan's cooperation could be a way of putting more pressure on Manafort, who has denied any wrongdoing. We understand that Gates is also in plea negotiations with special counsel Robert Mueller.
There's also reporting today that Mueller is looking into Trump advisor and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner's, efforts to get foreign financing for his company during the presidential transition.
Yeah, CNN's been reporting that Mueller has been asking questions about that, in particular Kushner's efforts to get financing for a building that his family company owns in New York City. And that search for financing included meetings with business executives from China and Qatar. And that's sensitive because during the transition, Kushner was sort of the main point of contact for foreign governments trying to reach out to the nascent Trump administration. So at the same time, if he was trying to raise money for his family business, there's a potential for conflict there. Kushner's lawyer tells CNN his client has never been asked about that search for financing, which the lawyer characterizes as just a regular business transaction. And he added that Kushner has been cooperating extensively with the special counsel.
No action today from the Supreme Court on the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. That program is set to end on March 5th. Congress hasn't done anything yet to extend it. Many were hoping the courts would say it has to remain in effect. Might they still do that?
Well, the lower courts have said it's got to remain in effect. So that's the status quo for now, where the question is whether the Supreme Court will uphold that or reverse.
And when will we know about that?
We're waiting. I think the end of the week is the next opportunity when we might expect a movement from the court. So the Supreme Court moves on its own timetable. We just watch.
Okay. One more thing quickly, Scott. This morning, President Trump tweeted that Republicans in Pennsylvania should fight a new congressional district map that the state Supreme Court has imposed all the way to the Supreme Court. How much will this redistricting fight in a battleground state, how much of an impact will it have on the midterms?
It could be big if this map, as drawn by the court, holds up. Right now, even though the votes are split about 50-50, Republicans have a 13-5 advantage in the Pennsylvania congressional delegation. If this map, which is much more favorable to Democrats, holds up, it could move several seats into the Democratic column in the midterms.
Scott Horsley, NPR White House correspondent. Scott, thank you.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.